Tuesday, May the 5th, began with a 10 o'clock meeting on our Kentucky trip with Liz, Bess, Peter Jones, who'd been down to survey the situation, Bill Batt, and Dick Nelson. After that, Liz stayed because I am getting the jitters about my speech or speeches for Atlanta next Monday, the 11th. As such occasions draw close, I wish I'd come down with a bad attack of almost anything. In order to get some personal audience analysis and really acquaint myself with the people I was going to see and talk to, I called Dr. Atwood, president of Emory, and also called Dr. Hurst. And then I took the really very excellent basic speech, which Mr. Patterson, famous editor of one of the papers in Atlanta, had written for me, tried to run my own feelings through it, and then called Bill White and asked him if he would have a go at it. He came by just before lunch, stayed only about 30 minutes, left with it in his pocket, and said he'd have it back by 6 o'clock, which he did. And then I had a little visit with Inspector Burke, the chief guide, the one who's been here the longest and tells the most fascinating stories about the White House. I wanted him to give me some anecdotes about what students or famous connoisseurs or anybody had said on their tours through the White House that might be useful in conveying on Thursday to the people for the tea how much people appreciated their work. And then at 4:30 was the big event of the day, a reception for 800 foreign students. The day was blue and gold. The shell was still up from last Saturday, and the red and white striped tents for refreshments once more in place. These students come from 71 foreign countries, and very few of them are here on U.S. government programs such as the Fulbright Hayes programs. Most of them come privately sponsored by foundations or U.S. college grants or grants from their own government or by their own resources. There were also a good many cultural attachés from the embassies around and foreign student advisors from the schools, which were Georgetown, George Washington, University of Maryland, American University, Howard, and Catholic universities. Particular accent on Howard. Probably has more foreign students than any other university in the United States. And also some smaller colleges out in Tacoma Park. They were all students graduating this year or else already graduate students. It was really a most colorful picture. Many of the women students were dressed in the flowing saris of India and Pakistan, the exotic silk of Thailand, the flowered kimonos of Japan with the big bows in the back. I went up to the shell and greeted everybody, reminding them that this custom of receiving foreign students at the White House had been begun by Mrs. Roosevelt, and we were happy to carry it on, and told them that after Lyndon's remarks, we would see the old guard fife and drum corps, wearing uniforms typical of those worn by members of the corps in George Washington's day, and playing music based on the early tunes of our American heritage. And then I introduced Lyndon. I really loved what he said to them. It was a short speech. He described America as an unfinished society, still striving toward a better world in which men can live for their beliefs rather than die for them, urged them to learn something about America's problems as well as achievements. And then, seeing Dean Rusk in the crowd, asked him to come up, introducing him as the kind of Secretary of State any president would like to have. Rusk spoke a moment, reminding them that 30 years ago he was himself a foreign student. I believe he was a Rhodes Scholar. And then Lyndon left for the refreshment tent and the office, followed by a horde of autograph seekers, while I tried to lead everybody else down to the tulip-ringed fountain. The fifers and drummers were marching up, their brilliant scarlet coats, white pants, black boots, and cocked hats, a glorious splash of color on that emerald lawn. I just hope that a whole lot of those students who had cameras, and practically everybody did, were using color film. They marched and played about 15 minutes. I met and thanked the leaders and then began to make my slow way back toward the house, shaking hands and stopping for pictures, but trying to fend off autographs by saying I'd rather talk to you than write my name down for you. There were a great number of students from Canada. I met a few from Mexico. Southeast Asia was heavily represented, and Africa, considering the size of its population, had a goodly number. It seemed like every other person that I asked where they were going We're going to Howard University. That must be a very interesting campus. I worked on mail, called Mary Lasker at Florence Mahoney's house and asked if she could come over about 6:30. She did, and I told her every single thing I had done in preparation for the two meetings on Thursday, May the 7th. Mary is one of those completely unfeline women, as rich as any of them, as knowledgeable or more so about painting and furniture as any of them, but with a different world to depart into, in which she is even more interested, the world of people, of medical research, of everything affecting health. Art, too, she has a finger in every artistic endeavor, and reminded me that I would be seeing her with Anthony Bliss on Friday night at the dinner and then at the opera. But her real commitment, or so it seems to me, is to the advances made possible by medical research and a terrific aliveness to the problems of the day, political, sociological, a broad spectrum. After she left, I walked downstairs all by myself and went from room to room very quietly, memorizing the treasures. When I got word that Lyndon was on the way, I hurried upstairs, joined him for dinner, and then an early bed.